of weeks ago, we looked at the gates of hell and how God's church will not prevail, or will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And that we're to be, I didn't go into this, but we're to be an offense. We're not to be on the defense. We're to be on the offense. We're to be going forth into the world, talking to people, doing the things that Jesus has told us to do. Not to be constantly shrinking back, not to constantly be afraid. And I mentioned that doing that, declaring that, would kind of upset the devil. They would upset Satan. And people had a little bit of trouble the past couple of weeks. Now, it doesn't mean that was Satan's doing. You know, a child having to go to the hospital or a brother passing. Because that stuff is just life. Even as Don talked last week, and he alluded into, got into a little bit of the, there's a time and a place for everything. And we know what it says in Ecclesiastes is that there's a time to live and a time to die. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And so we can't just turn and say, and blame Satan for it. But just remember this. He doesn't like anybody peeing in his pool. You know, he doesn't like us stirring that pot at all. So just be aware. Like we talked about, be aware and know that he goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Last week, as Don was talking about the fortress, my mind was taken to another place. When I hear words, you know I've said it time and again. When I hear words, sometimes I'll just latch onto that word and just think it through. And I thought it through, and I told Tammy, I said, you know, I wrote down my little definition of what I thought it meant, and I looked it up later on, and it meant what I thought it meant, and the root came from where I thought it came. Yeah. And it had something to do with what he talked about as well. But I'm going to share this little story. Most of you will know what it is. It's just kind of a summation of a very famous individual. It was imminent. The planet was to experience a catastrophic event that would bring complete and total obliteration. The infant was placed into an escape pod by his father and mother. His father set the pod on a course for the planet he had learned had a yellow sun, which would give his son special powers. A unique crystal had been placed into the pod, and after the child was grown, that crystal would be used to provide him with a place to go. The crystal also contained information which would give him an education detailing the history of his home planet, his origin. There would also be holograms of his mother and his father, along with their intelligence, their mind, their thoughts, how they worked in their minds. The holograms were there in their intelligence, so that at any time, Kal-El could ask some of life's most important questions or get advice from Jor-El, his father, about a particular problem. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Let's go ahead and play the national anthem. Oh,
I thought you were talking about...
So we looked last week... God being both a fortress and a fountain. The fortress being our source of security and protection. And the fountain being our source of pleasure and delight. God is our source of security and protection. He is our source of pleasure and delight. This place, we know, if you're familiar with the story of Superman, if you've seen the movies, that was his fortress of solitude. And in some of the films, he went up north around the Arctic region, and he took that little crystal, and he just put it toward the ground, And the next thing that happened was this great, almost like a cathedral, this fortress grew up out of the ground. And it had everything there that his father had provided for him. And it was a fortress of solitude, a place where he could go to get away from anything that may be bothering him. If he had a question, if he had something that he needed to know, he could go to that lonely place, that fortress of solitude, and find comfort and strength. He could find a refreshing in that. Now, to go again with what Don was talking about last week, God is our fortress. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. God is our fortress. And some of these verses I took out of the Passion Translation, and others are from the NASB, and there's another group that came from the Amplified Bible. And I did that just because of the richness of the word choices that the translators used. Yeah. And I do that a lot. I'll read all the different versions and then look at the Hebrew or the Greek or whatever. So Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Lord, I passionately love you, and I'm bonded to you. For now you've become my power. You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet, like a castle on a cliff, my forever firm fortress, my mountain of hiding, my pathway of escape, my tower of rescue where none can reach me, my secret strength and shield around me. You are salvation's ray of brightness, shining on the hillside, always the champion of my cause. All I need to do is call to you, singing to you, the praiseworthy God. When I do, I'm safe and sound in you. He said, I passionately call out to you. I'm bonded to you. Maybe over a year, 2 years ago, maybe, I can't remember what it was, but I did an object lesson where I took two pieces of construction paper and some Elmer's glue and just put those together at the beginning of the message, to show how we cleave to the Lord, to show that our heart is against His together, and to show in a marriage relationship what God has joined together, let no one tear apart. Because when those papers are separated, you try to break that bond, it totally destroys both pieces of paper. They cannot be separated. David here is saying, I am bonded to you. I am bonded to you. I'm connected. And nothing can separate us from His love. We can try to get away from it, but we are bonded to Him by His choosing. Yes. Okay? And He has become my power. You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet. He's a place where we can stand. Another section. This is another psalm spoken in another book. 2 Samuel, verse 22. Or chapter 22. 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Both of these passages talk about God being a fortress. And we know, what is that word fort? If you think of the word fort, what does it bring to mind? Anybody?
Something you can hide behind.
Protection, something you can hide behind.
Often something somewhat elevated.
Somewhat elevated.
Strategic area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An outpost where you can look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think of a couple different things. You know, when I was a kid, we had a fort. And it was a place just to go hang out with my friends. And, you know, we got into some stuff, you know, some trouble. But then there was the fort. Don had talked about building a pillow fort, you know, and that, or, you know, getting under the kitchen table and putting a sheet over it, making my own little fort. And one thing I really loved to do before we got central air was to take the big box fan we had and put a sheet or a blanket on top of the fan and have go over the backside so that it sucked the sheet up and it would kind of flow. Look kind of like a bouncy house thing, you know. And I would put something to weight down the edges and the corners so that I was in this nice, it was so cool, a nice breeze flowing over me and nobody could see me. And that was kind of like my fortress of solitude. I'd go in there with the cat, you know, and just kind of hang out and play with my stuff, you know. But this fortification, I don't know why, but I was thinking about Wonder Bread. You know, it's fortified with all of these essential vitamins and minerals, you know, or cereal that we would buy, and it's fortified. They take everything out, and they put everything back in, you know. But now we've learned that a lot of that's better if we just go natural and eat the stuff as God intended. But fortified, a fort is something that is strong. It's something that's there for protection. I'm just going to read a couple of different things from the definition. It's the actual word in the etymology is from the French, and it means strong, stout, sturdy, hard, fortified, strong, mighty, firm, steadfast. Steadfast, and that's a word that's related to that bonding that I talk about, when we are steadfast in the Lord, that bond that cannot be separated because there's going to be pain involved and it's not going to be the same. Fort is related to fortress, right? That's where it comes from. And when I sat there and I thought about this word fortress, what came to mind was were the buttresses, you know, the flying buttresses that in the cathedrals, and how they can support this great weight in architecture, and how in the fortress or in the fort, the fortress, there would be basically buttresses going along the walls to the ground to make the walls more sturdy, right? And there's certain places where the walls, where they kind of come out and they're a little bit bigger, right? And it's there to make the walls even stronger than they would be. There's a lot of intelligence goes into designing these things and the architecture of making a fort. And then I thought about these two things that are together. I'll get into that later. Never mind. Fortress, stronghold, a large and permanent fortification, sometimes including a town, a strong building or group of buildings that can be defended from attack. And as I thought about that, I remember hearing a story about wild animals, and in particular, elephants. And maybe you've heard this, that when a herd of elephants, when they feel that they are under attack from something, there is some danger that has approached them, the female elephants will get the babies behind them, the young the calves of the elephant, they'll get them behind them, and they'll all gather together in a line and form like this circle or half circle, this arc around the babies. And they put their ears out and they'll start to make noises and, you know, be as fierce as possible, but to protect the young behind them. And Amelia may know there's a group about it has to do with elephants and mothers and working together, and using that lesson from the wild to apply it to how we're to be with one another. But I just had that image of this, of them being like a fortress, that they are there, they are strong, they are not going to move, and they are going to protect those little ones behind them no matter what. And see, the Lord is like that for us. He stands between us and the enemy, the Holy Spirit. There's this shield round about us. And remember, we talked about the different bits of armor that he gives us? And that's that, like Garth mentioned, we put that on before we ever go, before we ever go out. We put it on, and it gives us this attitude. And it tells us again, it reminds us of who we are and what we have. It's a preparation to go out. It's a preparedness to be able to go out and do the job. So God is our fortress. And as I thought about that, as I sat right over there next to Tammy last week, God is our fortress. Fort. I thought of comfort. And I said, I'll bet those words are related. And I'll be darned, when I looked it up, they were related. God is our comfort. And I'm just going to read this little bit of a definition. To comfort means to cheer up, to console, to soothe when in grief or trouble. This kind of fits from the week that Don and Sue had. From you guys hearing about Elena. Comfort that comes. To cheer up, console, to soothe when in grief or trouble. It's another old French word that means to comfort, to solace, to help, to strengthen. To strengthen much. It has to do, that root, fort, has to do with that same fortress and comfort are related. This fortress of solitude is a place where we can go to be strengthened once again, mm-hmm. to be restored, to be built back up. Remember all those things that David talked about in the Psalms where he said that he was a strong foundation. He was his shield. He had his feet on the bedrock. He was protected. It was a place where he could go and get strengthened once again in the Lord. Comfort, again, feeling of relief in affliction or sorrow, consolation. Consolation, better than isolation. Okay? Mm-hmm. That comes to me. Consolation better than isolation, and it's related to the word solitude. Being in solitude is not the same as being in isolation. So just, that's a freebie. That stuff goes on all the time. And sometimes it's overwhelming, okay? But to comfort means to strengthen much. And it's related again to strong, to fort. It's a feeling of relief in affliction or sorrow. A source of alleviation or relief. It also has to do with pleasure and enjoyment. Just like Don talked about last week. And one of my favorite parts is I was thinking about comfort food. You know, and boy, oh boy, you know, when you're trying to do things right, it is so difficult not to crave the comfort foods, you know, and just learning that and making it when it's a treat and learning portion and all that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And this is beautiful, and I share this a lot. When people are bereaved of a loved one, a close, close friend, I share this verse time and time again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says, "All praises belong to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort." He is the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. See, it's not just for us to run to him and feel, oh Lord, I'm hurting, comfort me. No, we are comforted in him so that we can comfort one another, so that we can be there and say, I'm praying for you guys. You know, for your trip, for going up there. I'm praying that it's 17 below, I'm praying that it's at least 17 above zero. You know, it's Canada, eh? And it was winter. Of course it's going to be cold. But I receive comfort so that I can bring comfort to others. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that guy. You know, I don't want to bring comfort to other people. That goes against who I am. But not who I'm supposed to be. It doesn't go against who I'm supposed to be and who I'm hopefully becoming more and more. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. In any painful trial. Sometimes we might look and go, oh, well, they brought that on themselves. They deserve what they get. I'm not going to help them. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why? Because maybe we've been there. I've been there where I've done something and it brought trouble upon myself, but I thank God that there were people there who looked beyond that and came alongside, and through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, they were there. And I learned. And maybe we talked a little bit about what the choices were and what happened and all that, but they still didn't shun me. Now, I've been through that, where people say, oh, well, that's it, I'm done with you. But I've done that too, to others. And that's not how we're supposed to play with one another. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. So the more time we spend with Jesus and get to understand this mystery of God, this mystery of Jesus Christ, that he went to a cross, crucified. Remember, he was God, King, creator of everything. Still is, was, is, will be forever. But he laid that down and went to a cross. This is crazy. Went to a cross, died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead 3 days later, walked around, and said, believe in me and you'll be saved. Everyone who confesses my name will be saved. That's crazy. That's nuts. That's a mystery. I don't get it. But the more we spend time with him, the more we can get it and understand how great his love and compassion and mercy is for us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, when we understand that, his crucifixion, this excruciating pain, just as we experience the abundance of Christ's sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us. Cascade, just overflowing on us, just washing over us, his comfort through our union with Christ. If troubles weigh us down, that just means that we will receive even more comfort to pass on to you for your deliverance. So the more troubles we get, the more comfort is available to us. Comfort me in times of trouble. In times of trouble, I will sing to you. In times of trouble, I know you are my comfort. For the comfort pouring into us empowers us to bring comfort to you. And with this comfort upholding you, you can endure victoriously the same suffering that we experience. And again, a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't, you know, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not about triumphalism. It's not about the banners and the marching and all that stuff that goes with it. But it is understanding that we are victors in Christ. Even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of pain. We say, you know what? Let's just keep on going. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. Just keep marching. Just keep going. We got somewhere to go. We can't give up now. I've been up for 48 hours. It doesn't matter. Let's keep going. We have to do this. You know, thinking about the people fighting the fires a few weeks back in Australia, you just got to keep going. You got to keep going. And then there's one group that they go up and they fight, and then the other one goes back and they get rest and they gear up and they get their supplies, and then they go up, and then there's the relief. And just, you just got to keep going. You got to keep moving forward, keep fighting. John 14, this is for us. This is for the church. Jesus spoke this. John 14, verse 25. Jesus said, I have told you these things while I am still with you. But the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, you can tell this one came from the Amplified Bible. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. This is kind of like that fortress of solitude, where we can go to this place where we have the mind of Christ available to us, and we can ask questions, and we can receive, and we can learn. And kind of like Solomon did, he learned a lot about the physical realm just by looking and receiving wisdom, not his own, but wisdom from God. But this idea, Jesus sending this Comforter, sending Holy Spirit to us to comfort us, to come alongside us, the Paraclete, the one who joins us. He's bonded to us. He lives inside of us. He is a part of us. He's our intercessor, our advocate. An advocate is one who speaks for another. So God is our fortress of comfort. I thought that was very, for me, it was a beautiful thing. He is our fortress of comfort. This mirror image where we can run to him and be safe. We're protected. We're comforted. We're strengthened. He strengthens us. We strengthen one another. Providing comfort brings strength. Just going up alongside someone and putting your arm around them and saying, I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you. That strengthens the other person's heart. And that maybe you don't even have to say that. Maybe you just go and you put your arm around them. And that brings strength to that other person. Maybe we've been there where we're just, somebody just reaches up and they just put their hand on your shoulder during a service. So we're going to finish up with this. God is our fortress of comfort. He's a refuge, a place of rest and rejuvenation. He is our restoration. He is a place where we can learn of our Father and our family. We can learn of his kingdom. We can learn and begin to understanding why the world is the way it is and what it can be. We can learn why the world is the way it is, and we can learn what it can be, what it should be, what it ought to be, what it was supposed to be. We gain special powers through the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit which help to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit which help to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said his kingdom is here. It's in us. It works through us. He is our source of strength. He is our source of peace, our shalom. He is our source of comfort. He is our fortress of comfort. He's our source of comfort. He's our fortress of comfort. Dan Wilt has written a devotional. It's also been a teaching. But worship is a place you go. Worship is a place we go. It's not just singing. It's not just music. It's not just, but it's a place where we go. We come in. We don't actually come into God's presence. God's presence is everywhere, but we recognize, you know, and that's kind of like the way we understand it, where we come into God's presence. We come in to seek his face. It's a place we go. God is our refuge. It's a place. The holy place. The holy of holies. Being in him. Being protected by him. In fact, I think I will. Would you mind if I surprise you, Don?
You always surprise me.
Yeah, but would you mind doing communion?
I can do it.
Can you do it?
I can do it.
All right. I just think that would be good. I do. Surprise.
Adding also to what Keith was talking about, fortress, but what came to my mind, and Keith will love this, and there'll be another thing for him to run with. But the word in French is forteresse, and it's a feminine ending, and the word fortress in France is a feminine word.